Christians in some parts of the world continue to risk their lives for the sake of the gospel. In places like China, Pakistan, and even India, and as well northern parts of Nigeria. Not too long ago, a woman was beheaded in the northern part of Nigeria because he was doing what was called morning cry, leaving her home very early in the morning to declare the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was told that the Muslim or Islamic extremist got her and beheaded her. The question I ask, does it worth it? Does this gospel worth our risking our lives? Without trying to think about that, I think it worth it. And this is why Paul in this letter talks about that mystery he received. And before we go that, we see Paul in that chapter 1 of that very Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 of that Ephesians chapter 3, telling the Christians in Ephesus that it is because of them that he became a prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he went on to talk about the revelation that was given to him. If you run through verses 2 to 7, the early part of it talks about the revelation he received. And then the question would be, what is that revelation? The revelation was and is still that the Gentiles will be made the same heirs of the kingdom of God like the Israelites. Let me just throw more light to this. The Gentiles are people who are alienated. They are distant from the love of God because they weren't actually the people who believed in the living God, the God of the Jews as of the time. They were living their life anyhow, worshiping idols. Then through what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary, something happened that broke the barrier that made only the Jews the chosen people of God. And then after that, there is room through Jesus Christ and the gospel of truth for everyone who receives it to be part of that God's family. That was the revelation Paul received. That those who didn't know God, who were dying in ignorance, will now become part of God's family. Through what they didn't do, through that grace was made available by what Christ did at the cross of Calvary. So that revelation wasn't just about reconciling us back to God. It's all about reconciling us back to one another, building a family for God in Christ Jesus. Peter last week talked about the walls that separate in the northern part of Germany, the Berlin Wall, how it was broken, how people are being brought back to each other. And this is just an example of what that very text is talking about. Paul went on to say that he received power again to make this revelation known, to proclaim this very revelation he has got. And I have just jumped a bit, and I just want to add to this that that revelation is we who are gathered here, the church of God. So he didn't stop at the revelation he got. He was empowered to talk about this revelation. So it's not all about being called to preach the gospel. It is equally being empowered to make impact in the life of people. So Paul received that power to make impartation of that wisdom of God to the Gentiles. I think, in my understanding of the scripture, that revelation, he got it on his way to Damascus. Some of us might know the story about Paul's life history. Previously, he doesn't believe in this very revelation he was keen to die for. He was knowledgeable, but his knowledge doesn't relate to this very revelation he is standing for here. He has a different understanding of God until that very day he encountered Christ on his way to Damascus. It was even on a mission to fight this very revelation in question. And Jesus opened his eyes, and I think from there his perspective changed. He understood clearly that he was the least among the apostles, among the called of God, to preach this very gospel, to receive this special revelation. But that was given to him through the grace that was available in Christ Jesus. That was it. I think in verse 8 he emphasized that. So, I was talking with Richard before the service, and we got to talk about the problem in the world. We got to talk about Nigeria and the situation, how well the Nigeria is. And still people are suffering, people are living in poverty. People kill themselves because of ethnic diversity, because of one thing or the other. And I got to reflect on the sermon I was about to preach there. I said, all these policies, all these demonstrations, all this, in Nigeria we have what they call the people from the east, they call themselves Epo, indigenous people of Biafra, agitating for actualization of an independent country in Nigeria, seceding from the nation Nigeria. But I don't think that we go a long way to solve the problem. It's not only in Nigeria that we continue to have these dividing wars because of our ideology of what we stand for. Even in the West, they have different sort of situations facing them. So the only thing I feel that will bring us to one understanding, a common understanding, is this very revelation that Paul has got and he preached about, being part of that God's family. Understanding as we go on, the height, the width, and the length, and the depth of the love of God, which will bring us, of course, to the maturity that God expects of this very revelation he has given to Paul, which is the church of God. So, it is worth dying for, to be part of this family. It is worth staking our life for, because we will not only be reconciled to God, we will go a long way reconciling others to ourselves and God, and we will see how the kingdom of God, in a sense, established here on earth, where people will live in peace and harmony. And that was God's intent when he was giving that revelation to Paul. From verse 14, he went on to do one thing, to pray for the church in Ephesus. He saw, yes, they love God, they worship God, but for this to come to accomplishment, for this to be fulfilled, there is need to pray through. There is need to pray in the will of God in the life of the church. And Paul went on his knees and he began to pray first for strength, for them to live it out in their lives. And then he now continued to pray that they will understand the manifold, the word he used, I love it, the manifold nature of the love of God. The layers of the love of God. And I love that illustration he used. The width, the length, the height, the depth. And that reflects the cross. The love of God is expressed in Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. And that was the place that reconciliation was made, where there is no longer Jew or Gentile, where we all are heads and members of the house of God, which is the church. And there is another thing very important. And for us to come to that fullness of what God's intent is, we have to know that love. And we cannot get to the knowledge of this love with human understanding, because I think it is spiritually discerned. Prayer is very necessary. And he began to pray for the church that they will know that love. And in knowing that love, they will grow to maturity in Christ Jesus. And they will reflect that church, which was the intent of God, which was that revelation Paul got. And it is that church, I emphasized earlier, despite all the policies, which is fantastic, United Nations and all whatnot, which has helped but has not gone too far to help, will bring the kind of peace we need to live in this planet Earth. We break the barrier, like Peter emphasized last week, that talks about, I'm a Nigerian, I'm British, I am Jew, I am tall, I am short, I am wealthy, I am poor, I am knowledgeable. In Christ Jesus, we are one. And when we know that love of God, we will learn how to live with one another. And that is that spiritual maturity that God expects from the church. It is worth dying for. Christ died for this reason. And to us as a church, we are not far from this promise. We are part of this revelation. Of course, through baptism, we are linked to that. We are the same body of Christ. All the wonderful programs we have to reach out for souls in Emswell or beyond, to touch the life of children that will be the future of the church tomorrow, will all happen if we can draw strength from the Lord. And that will only come when we come as a church to pray together for this to come to reality. We can only know the true love of God when we pray that the Holy Spirit will open our mind of understanding, and we will grasp, I love that term he used, that love of God in that very text. And it will be embedded in us, and it will reflect in our life, affecting people whom we preach the gospel to. It will be seen clearly when somebody walking through that door without being told that these people are of a truth, children of God. And through our words, we will make disciples for Christ, as Paul was doing, reconciling the Gentiles and the Jews. And we are equally commissioned to continue from where he stopped. Because of time, I have to summarize my talk. I will come to a stop by saying, we need, as a church, to go on our knees for us to actualize what God has called us, his intent concerning us, because the church is the beacon of God's glory on earth. And we are not to live in isolation in our Christian faith. We should come together to manifest the glory of God. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that today you will open our mind of understanding, that we will know your love and enable us to come to that maturity that will cause us to impact positively to the world around us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.